reading verses 1 through 12. I'm actually going to be talking about verses 7 through 12, but I'd like for us to read verses 1 through 12. Okay, hear the word of the Lord. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and then all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, asks, receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Okay, please be seated. One thing we all have in common. One thing we all have in common is that we are persistent. I think back on my 10th birthday. That was the one time that my parents would give all of their children a birthday party with their friends. When you were 10 years old, you got this birthday party. And that meant persistence for my mom. There were invitations that had to be sent out, and then my birthday is February 22nd, and you know George Washington cut down a cherry tree? She cut out little trees. And she had a game where she hid them all over the house where they would find these cherry trees. But she was very persistent in getting ready for that birthday party. And it was a lovely time. One of the gifts that was given to me was a book called Pinocchio. And it's the story of a wooden puppet that misbehaves. But when he does what he should do, he becomes a real person. It's a nice story. I liked it a lot. My father, though, was very persistent. Here I am, a 10-year-old boy, and he says, that's a bad story. And what he was getting at, and I didn't understand it at the time, was that the point of the story was that if we do good, we can save ourselves. But that's not true, is it? Now, my father was persistent, wasn't he? Consistent in telling me, this young boy, something that I didn't understand at the time, but I really understand now. Now, only God can change a sinner's heart. Only God can turn our hearts of stone, of things that aren't living and breathing, to a heart that loves the Lord. Hebrews 4:15 tells us this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so may we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So the Heavenly Father, through Jesus, I can go to His throne of grace and I can get what I need. I can't change myself. Now, just to get us up to speed here in the Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at, earlier Jesus told His disciples this: your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Why should you pray to God, your Heavenly Father? He knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, isn't that a blessing to ask somebody something and they know what you need and boom, it's right there? He knows what you need before Him asks. And then Jesus went on to teach us the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer says, take everything to Him because He knows what you need before you ask Him. Everything you take to Him. Now, the song says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus knows, and so praise the Lord. So, my Heavenly Father has all the answers, and Jesus can sympathize. I need sympathy. I need people to think along with me and understand my feelings when I go to them. So that's why we pray to our Father in heaven through Jesus, and the Father in heaven has all the answers. Now, our passage today teaches us that we are to persist in prayer. There's 2 points, and I think I'm only going to talk about 1 point today. The first point is persist in prayer. We must persist in prayer. The second point is be confident that the Lord will hear what you have to say. Be certain He will hear what you have to say. But we're going to look here especially then this morning at we are to persist in prayer. And isn't that what He tells us here in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now, earlier, first part of the Sermon on the Mount, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You're blessed then when you've humbled yourself before God and you've confessed your sin, when you've come before Him and says, I can't do it anymore. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins. Take away my sins. Confess my sins in the name of Jesus. He's taken the punishment for my sins. I'm totally depraved. I'm a slave to sin. Every area of my life is affected by sin. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Christ comes into your heart. He rules your heart, and you're free, you're changed. So what He's saying, another way of putting this, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the beggars. Blessed are those who can't do it anymore themselves. I don't know whether very frequently I encounter beggars. The other day there was a young looking man, vigorous, dressed nicely. He had a backpack on, and he was out there standing by the side of the road saying, homeless, no money, hungry. And he was asking for help. He couldn't do it anymore. He needed help. And that's us. We can't get right with God. We need to be poor in spirit and come before Him. Well, now once we've come to Him, the Lord is encouraging us further on here to persist in prayer. And He underscores, before He comes to our passage, that He underscores how what a big thing what it confronts us, because he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that's just way beyond us, isn't it? We need to persist in prayer because things keep coming back in, don't they? We need more forgiveness for it. We need more help. We need all the time. There. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that's in general. But then verses 1 to 6 that we read, and this is a point that we often miss. The context, what is referring to here specifically about being persistent in prayer, is to be persistent about the problem we have in judging others unfairly. That's a big problem with the disciples. They loved the Lord. They followed him. They left behind everything. They were following him. But they had this problem. And it was a problem that wasn't dying. It was there with them. And so Jesus addresses it. This matter of judging people unfairly. He tells us in the way we judge others, the Lord is going to judge us. Now, what we're to understand this, it was helpful to me to reflect on what he's really talking about is gossip. Isn't he? Gossip, you talk about, it's critical of other people, but you spread it around and you're looking down on them. You say things about them that aren't true. That's judging, isn't it? And it goes on all around us, doesn't it? People don't talk to us about our problems. I know it hurts, but they talk about us. He's saying that's something that has to die in you. And here's how it's going to die. Ask. You got to persist in praying. Ask, and it will be given you. And then this matter of seeking. You ask, and it still doesn't die in you. So you keep on asking, you seek. It's still there. So what do? You got to knock on the doors of heaven. You got to keep asking the Lord. Now, one of the things this means is that we really have to examine ourselves before we go to the Lord in prayer, don't we? If I don't recognize that I'm guilty of judging others unfairly, I can't ever ask. Go to him. Now, that makes it important that I read God's word, doesn't it? So it identifies what I'm doing specifically. I cannot think I'm gossiping. I can look around me and not think I'm talking down, I'm putting somebody down, and yet I can be doing it. God's word, see, gets inside of me, and it brings to my attention things I am not aware of. So I need to examine myself as to whether I'm doing this in the light of God's word, and then I need to be persist in prayer. Now, the thing that's important for us to recognize here as well is in verse 12, Jesus insists upon a complete turnaround for his disciples. They're judging others unfairly. And what does he say in verse 12? So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So you don't like being gossiped about? You don't like people saying things about judging you unfairly? Well, make sure you don't do it to other people. That's a complete turnaround, isn't it? Something you enjoy. And the Bible speaks of gossip as something that we delight in. It goes down into our stomachs just the way a good steak goes down. Like a good, whatever you like, if you're a vegetarian. I don't know what do vegetarians like? I guess you like cheese, don't you? If a good kind of cheese goes down there, you just love it. Or if you like desserts, it's a good dessert that goes down there. But there's to be a complete turnaround. You're not to say anything that you wouldn't want somebody else to say about you or do to you. So let us persist in prayer. We need his grace to help us in our time of need, doesn't it? So we should persist in asking for it. We need his grace. This, when he's asking, will be given you, seeking, you'll find, knock, and the door will be open to you. That's not an encouragement to ask for tickets to the Super Bowl, to ask for a new dining room set. Ask, it will be given you. Seeking, you'll find. That's something you really want to do. It's not that at all. He's really concerned here about our hearts and what we discover in our hearts, and he wants us to persist in praying about the sin that we keep seeing in our hearts. Let us persist in prayer. His promises accompany his commands. Ask what? What's his promise? It will be given you. Seek, what's his promise? You will find. Knock, what's his promise? And the door will be opened unto you. He'll make a way for you. In the Greek, these commands would be stated more accurately like this. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on is what he wants from us in this matter of becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Now, he really wants us to persist. We see that because he adds to this verse we've been focusing on. The next verse right after that, verse 8, is, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open. He repeats it so we get the point. It's important to us. This is a great promise, isn't it? And this, you see, it covers everything, doesn't it? In everything. He's focusing on something very particular, but in everything, it covers everything, and he doesn't say everything but a certain circumstance. It's in every circumstance. Now, I find myself making promises, then I got to qualify those promises. No, I mean da 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 da. Forget about it over here, it just applies to this. But this is comprehensive. This covers everything. Persist in everything in prayer. Persist in everything, especially in your heart here. He's concerned with your heart. And it's gracious, isn't it? Isn't there grace in this? And it'll be given you. Ask and God will give you what you don't deserve, what you need, but what you don't deserve. And this promise like this is found only in the Bible. This is a promise that nobody else could ever give us. Ask, and you'll get what you ask for. Seek what you seek. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. No qualifications. There it is. And we're encouraged to be bold in doing this. Don't be shy about doing this. Now, on my block, sometimes there's a knocking on my door late at night, or knocking even on a neighbor's door. It doesn't even need to be my door. I'll hear it in the summertime. And stick my head out the window to see who it is, and I might say to them, yes. Now, Jesus tells a parable about that. How when somebody does that to you, you'll do what they want just because they were bold enough to knock. We're to persist. We're to be bold, and the Lord will answer. We're to persist and be bold in what we ask of him, and the door will be open to us. I'm reminded of this, of the importance of examining ourselves. By 9th Street, there used to be years ago, there was a lady that sold fish down there. It was just below Giordano's on the corner there. And she had this way, she always got my attention. It was a good fish shop, there's a wide variety, but she would say, look them over, look them all over, look them over, look them all over, look them over, look them all over. And then she died, and her daughter came along, and it was the same thing. Look them over, look them all over. And she had a way of saying it that really would catch your attention. And That's what the Lord wants from us. Do we have any angry or critical thoughts about other people? Are we jealous or covetous? Are there things in our hearts that could give birth to gossip and to just talking about or slandering them? We naturally, in persisting in persistence in praying, if there's an emergency, we'll really pray, won't we? Something gets our attention. If there's a calamity, we'll really pray for that. If one of our children gets ill, we'll pray without ceasing. If we're faced with a situation just too big for us, we'll pray. The saying among the men that I would work with years ago or had fought in World War II was, there's no atheists in foxholes. You've dug out this little hole in the ground, they're shooting at you, and you're scared. You might die. You don't want to die. You call out to the Lord. So we naturally persist in praying under certain circumstances. And here we're being encouraged to persist in praying about sinful habits, and a particular sinful habit here of judging others unfairly. Now, we want to persist then in praying to the Lord. We want to confess the effect of sin upon you is so great that only God's grace can remove it. It's seeing then this matter of being a beggar. Only God can help you with it. It's too big for you. Humble yourself before the Lord. Sin has stripped us of the ability to get out of the mess. So humble ourselves. We're to humble ourselves before the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord, only in the Lord, who gave himself for us. The prophet Isaiah says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Under any circumstance, he will pardon us. No matter what it is, persist in going to him about it. And remember, there's no exceptions. This is the Bible. These are unique promises. Don't ever be bold in every situation and go to him. Now, if we really want to be men of God, want to be children of God, want to be women of God, we must persist in asking him day after day after day. So we need to hunger and thirst, don't we, for righteousness. And then we'll be filled. Now, this isn't a one-time thing. We come to the foot of the cross, and we pray, we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive us our sins. But the law of God keeps telling us we've sinned, and we keep recognizing the problem, don't we, that the sin, the things we want to do, we don't find ourselves doing. So there is this matter of continuing to come to the cross, the foot of the cross, and asking the Lord to forgive us our sins, because Jesus has taken the punishment. Oh Lord, pass over my sins. Give me a clean record, because you forgive me, but I need to keep going and going and going to him and asking him for forgiveness. My race isn't over yet. I'm to keep my eyes on the fact that Jesus is going to come again, and I'm going to go see him. And until I'm in heaven, until he comes to be with me, I'm to persist in praying to him. I'm not to stop running. I'm not to be distracted. I'm not to look behind my back. I'm to keep my eyes on what he's done for me in dying on the cross for my sins. I'm to keep my eyes on I have a Father in heaven that can take care of all my needs. And that I pray in the name of Jesus, and he sympathizes with me, because Jesus has gone through everything I've gone through yet without sinning, but he can help me. And so we are together. He's encouraging us to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. Let us persist in prayer. Let us persist in prayer. Let us persist in praying that we'll put away this judging of others. Let us persist in praying that we'll love others, treat others the way we would like to be treated. Let us confess that we can't get rid of our sins by ourselves. We are dependent on God's mercy. And let's remember that this is something that is with us until we go to be with Jesus. The more we learn about God's word, the more we become aware, don't we, of what's in us and what we need to be doing and what he wants for us. But God's grace is greater than all that God's law exposes to us. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that Jesus speaks. And Lord, especially as we come now to remember Christ's death on the cross for our sins and observing the Lord's Supper, we ask that we will examine ourselves and then come to his throne of grace, seeking his forgiveness, remembering that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins and we're cleansed of all of our sins. In our Savior's name we pray, amen. Let's stand as we sing together our communion song, We Remember You.